In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Sunday. This is one of those days, if you have a seminarian, you have them preach so that they can try to explain to you this great mystery of God. I'm smart enough not to try to do that now. I mentioned earlier that this is also known as Heresy Sunday, but my wife said I shouldn't say that because somebody will think that that's the title of my sermon. Hopefully it's not. I just wanted to say what a glorious day, what a glorious hymn. We don't hear that one very often, do we? Well, you know why? Because everybody goes, oh, it's too long. Well, that's nothing. Wait till this sermon's over. It's a good hymn. I mean, if you miss the words, go back and read them. All this stuff doesn't happen by accident. You know, we got books that tell us how to do it. But even the readings today are pointing to this understanding that we have of our Trinitarian God. We have Isaiah has this vision of God on the throne, and we hear the incarnate God Jesus Christ describing the concept of being born of the Spirit, and then Paul also speaking about living in the Spirit. So we have all three pieces in place, amen? This is important for us to hear it that way, because nowhere is it going to be spelled out very specifically God three in one. It's what we've discovered and what it has revealed to us in the Word of God. Now, people have tried to explain it 1,000 ways, and they've gotten it wrong 1,000 times. It is the great mystery, the fullness of God. I'd love to tell you that I could explain it in great detail so that you would understand it, and as soon as I understand it, I will. So I would just say to you, it's a mystery that we somehow know to be true through what he's revealed in the Word. And as I was looking at the readings, the words from Isaiah captured me. Primarily because he was using words right from the prayer book. When he says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. That should ring in your ears, brothers and sisters. I assume it does. That is something that we sing or say every time we gather for the Eucharist. And so when I was reading through Isaiah, I said, you know, we should talk about that a little bit. And when I say we, I mean me. You can, if you want to talk, we'll talk, but then it'll be longer than the hymn. But we have this opportunity within our liturgy where scripture is placed, often, by the way, within our liturgy, and to remember the context in which it was said. So when we come to the table here in a little bit and we say this, holy, 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 we can remember back to what Isaiah's vision was. And what was his vision? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Well, keeping in mind for him to say that, most people would have said, you couldn't have seen the Lord. You would have died. But he didn't. He found life in his vision of God on the throne. And as we hear this in our own liturgy, we can hear that God is on his throne. We, like Isaiah, can see that God is on his throne. We can come to the table knowing that there is this Almighty God, that now on this side of the cross, through Jesus Christ's very body and blood, not only do we see him, but he indwells us, the fullness of God. We will add in the midst of our liturgy another part of Scripture out of Matthew. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that should immediately take us, for us, to Palm Sunday. When God incarnate is entering into Jerusalem, riding on the back of a donkey, sort of mocking the earthly kings, he will not leave Jerusalem in his earthly body. This is his last visit. He will go to the cross. And then the Spirit of God will pour out onto his people. This Trinity Sunday, hard to describe, but we sort of know that it's true, don't we? We just have a sense of it through his word. And through our liturgy, we're drawn into these places by these same words. Just as we hear in our scriptures today, this vision to the living in the Spirit, we have within our liturgy each time a combining of all of these things, even to the point of beginning to recognize we didn't come up with this. Our prayer book did not invent adding this into the liturgy. The Christian church has been using these words out of Isaiah. The earliest evidence we have of it comes from St. Clement in the year 104. It's ancient, isn't it? The year 104 is the earliest evidence of the church gathering to worship God and using these very words, holy, holy, holy. This gathering, this coming to worship God on the throne. We've been doing it for a while. We continue it. And just as our readings take us back to the ancient and into the future and that living with the Spirit, we in our liturgy look at that ancient and carry it into the now and look towards the future. It is all tying us together and all bringing us to the one place, the very contact with God. And we do this in the midst of our opportunity of coming to receive communion. It is the opening part. You remember it well, I'm sure. And traditionally, we would do this, holy, 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 the Sanctus, followed by the Benedictus. And our prayer book gives us the option to stand or kneel. Unless you're in the right one, then it's kneel or stand. And when we take ourselves and imagine this vision that Isaiah is describing, to come before God, it's no wonder liturgically we have the option to fall to our knees. And many will and some don't. Not a pressure to do either or. It's where your heart is. Our liturgy is bringing us to this very vision of a risen Lord coming to the table to meet him. This place where we're guided by his word and this place where we encounter the sacrament, the very presence of the Spirit of God. But something else really happens when you start to dig into Isaiah. You start to look at the context in which this is happening. He's been just sort of hammering on Judah and Israel as to what was going to happen to them in their brokenness and their sinfulness and their sinful lips that and the words that are coming out of their mouths. And he just has been going on for about five chapters, until he gets to this point. But isn't it interesting that in his convicting of Judah and those in Jerusalem, he finds within himself the same brokenness. Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Isn't that just the way God works? Coming before him, confessing our sin before him, and he takes our sin and he wipes it away. And then he says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?'" And Isaiah made the answer, right? "And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" There's a process within Scripture, within our liturgy, within our lives. We have opportunity to come before God. We have opportunity to come before the risen Lord and say to him, "Lord, I have unclean lips," and he will purify us. But he doesn't stop there, does he? He says, "Who will go for us?" And I'm reminded of a Curcio song it's not just a Curcio song, but it's often sung at Curcio. "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord?" And then everybody's raising their hands, aren't they? I'm usually sitting back there going, "Not me." Well, do you know where Isaiah was agreeing to go? He was going to go to a bunch of people who didn't hear anything he said. Not a word. In fact, it got so bad, if you read through the book of Isaiah, at some point he's going to turn to somebody and say, "Hey, write this down." It's a paraphrase. "Write this down. Nobody's listening. Somebody write it down. Maybe they'll read it later." They're in decline, and it's not going to get better for a while. I can barely look at the news anymore. I can barely take it. Brothers and sisters, this world is broken. There's a cure for its brokenness, and it's readily available. And there is a number of people who can hear God calling out, "Who will go?" And there's a number of people that are saying, "Here I am. Send me." Brothers and sisters, it's us. It's his church. We live at a time where the world is not hearing God. Through this understanding of our triune God, through our being grafted in through the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, in the receiving of the Spirit of God poured out on his people, he is saying to us, "Who will go? Who will go to this world that is broken and hurting and dying? Who will go?" We come here and worship in this pattern every week. In fact, there are times when we go other places, I suspect, and we go home and say, "I don't feel like I've been to church today." Have you had that? Yeah, our liturgy speaks to us. It matters. It moves us on a journey, and it reminds us of the journey whole. The contact with the risen Lord, the power of his Spirit within us, and he says to us, and even our liturgy says, "Who will go?" When your deacon stands, I've reminded you before, by the door and says, "Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God." What the deacon is saying is, "Hey, come with me. Let's go." The deacon's saying, "Who will go?" God is saying, who will go? He's been saying it. Isaiah said, I will go, send me. Now, like Isaiah, I suspect you might be surprised to find out that the world isn't exactly excited about you showing up. But we must go. We live on this side of the cross, where the victory is won. Amen? Through the very body and blood of Jesus, the victory is God's. We walk with the victor. He has overcome sin and death in this world. Our hope is in him. And the hope of this world is in him. And we have the glorious job, the incredible opportunity to stand on God's behalf and look at the world and say, I see you're hurt. I can see you're damaged. I can see you're broken. Let me show you the healer. Let me show you the one who can rise above the death, the sin, the brokenness, and the sorrow. Let me show you where you find love, grace, and mercy, and the unconditional love of God. He says to us, brothers and sisters, who will come?